You come up here, because I ain't any more ready for this than you are.
The Lord's always ready.
That's right.
Amen.
Good morning, everybody. I tell you, man, last night's meeting was a blessing to me, and I don't know about you guys, but it was definitely an encouragement. Excuse me, guys, here online. I need to hold it because I got to move around. You know me, I can't sit in one space for too long. This is terrible. This is terrible. It's really funny how things work. I mean, it really is. It's not funny. It's neat. Last night was probably the most encouraging type of Bible study we had in a while on Saturday nights, and I really enjoyed it. But it was like, man, shortly after that, man, it was like the enemy was hitting me hard. Really wanted me to throw me off game.
Yeah.
Really was. And he doesn't want us to be encouraged in the Lord. You know? And it's just one of those things. You stand. You stand in the truth. I go over to Paul's and say, "Whoa, man, I'm a scumbag. This is hitting me left and right." And I know where it was coming from.
Sure.
We know where it was coming from. But the Lord is good. Just the experience that, I knew that we're definitely in a battle, without a doubt. We're definitely in a battle. And it was just an awesome thing. I really enjoyed last night. But as I come before you today, I feel pretty blanked and unprepared. But that's okay.
When you get the enemy's attention, you've been doing something right.
When I get the enemy's attention, I've been doing something right. Well,
if he ain't been noticing you, he ain't been doing nothing.
Well, praise the Lord.
That's right.
Because it's not to my doing. I'll tell you that right now. You know, in fact, I see the points where the Lord ministers the most, uses me to minister the most, is when it's kind of going through a struggle or going through a hump or going through something. And the Lord just sends me somebody, I minister to them. And it's like, it's so not about me. It's so not about us. You know, it's about the Lord. And we were talking about moving together in a body last night. And, you know, lately it's been, all of us has been having that opportunity to minister to others. And we've been doing that. And it's just been a joy. And I encourage, like LSU, I've been, you know, I was talking about LSU, and those guys don't lose focus. Those guys don't give up. It's a football team. To people out there, those guys don't give up. They don't lose their focus. And if the other team misses a beat, boom, they're all over them like white on rice. They won the game. It's over. You know, and that's the type of faith as the mustard seed that I was talking about. They don't give up. You know, and right after that, let me tell you, I had to put that in practice. Really had to put that in practice. Praise the Lord for the opportunity. But He's good. He's good. And I was reading, and we've been over this a lot, actually, and that's in Philippians 2. And it's one of those passages I really like. If I can find it. No dead air. How about them Clemson Tigers? All right. Where am I at? Yeah, they didn't give up either. They have before, but they didn't give up. At the end of it, they didn't give up. Here we go. Praise the Lord. If there be, Philippians 2:1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He was the example of doing this. And yet, he was perfect in doing this. He had no sin. We, on the other hand, do. And he died for us while we were yet sinners. It's easy for us to see this when we know how depraved we are. When we know how much we need Jesus Christ and his grace. I'm a scumbag. I need the Lord. And if the Lord had thought to have mercy on me, man, how much more can I have mercy upon you guys and others out there to reveal that truth to them and to you, and have compassion on you guys as you go through things, and you guys have compassion on me when I'm going through things. No, because of what the Lord did. But yet, Jesus Christ had no sin and he did it. He loved us while we were at our worst. When he died while we were yet sinners. I mean, that's the point where he died when we were just at our absolute worst. Not when we were loving him. When we were saying, crucify him, crucify him. You know, he chose to do that for us. How much more ought we to carry that same love out and to do it for one another? Especially knowing our depravity and how much we need him. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He knew who he was. He knew he was born of the Holy Spirit. He knew what he came to the earth to do. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. The same flesh, the same pull that we have, he had. But he overcame it all. And we just walk in that same victory. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Above every name, became obedient unto death. He was before the foundations of the earth, created the universe, created us. We were created for him and by him. We were created to serve him. And yet here he is, going to the cross for our sakes and our rebellion. Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. We're the ones taking him to the cross to kill him because of our own hatred, because of our own self-righteousness, because of our own rebellion. That's what we did. And we were made by him. And yet he became obedient unto death for our sakes. That's how much he loved us. That's how much we are required. We're to have that same mind for one another. Having that same mind and doing it. You know, the Lord has been good to all of us so much. So much. It's just a small matter to ask to love one another in the same way. Am I there? Heck no. Do I want to get there? Heck yes. Let's keep pressing forward that mark. To be doing the will of the Father as the body. We'll start making a difference when we start doing His will and prefer others before ourselves. preferring your brothers and sisters before yourself. No equation of you in there at all. People will see that love and will want that love. Or they will see that love and reject that love. Whatever. Praise the Lord either way. Amen. It's about doing the will of the Father. That at the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the God, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We all will stand accountable. We all will be bowing. It says every knee should bow. In heaven and in things in earth and things under the earth.
Whether
you bow here or not, you will be giving yourself, you will be giving account to the Lord. What'd you do with what I've given you? What'd you do with the commandments I've commanded you with? Love God, love one another. And we can do that, and He's given us the ability to do that in Him. We're not going to be able to do it, this philios. It's going to be choosing Christ. That's how you're going to love one another. That's how you're going to fulfill this commandment. As you choose Him daily, you die daily to this thing. That's how you're going to fulfill it. Lord loved us enough, and He was perfect, and He went to the cross. And He had every temptation and pull that we have. But He fulfilled it for our sakes. Ought we not to do the same for one another? I think with that, it's very short, but let you have it, Paul.
Pop all the eardrums. I'm not going to hold it. It crackles and pops and does all kinds of stuff when you're holding it.
I'll stop.
One of the things the Lord's showing me is, you know, we do these things on Sunday morning, and we do these things on Thursday evening, and we do these things on Tuesday night and Wednesday night. Not because we're good, or not because we have anything special, but we have the teaching of the Lord about servant. And, you know, I used to say, and it is still true, the Lord shows up here and gives me something for y'all because He loves y'all. Not because I'm anything. And, you know, I realized a few years ago that if all I had to do was show, if I showed, He'd show. And He'd meet me, not because I was any good, but I did all that He required of me, is to show up and be able to speak His truth, be ready to speak His truth no matter how I felt about it. And, well, that's still true, and it's true for everybody. But our nature is to lose track of that. And, you know, when we get our hearts right, then we understand that whether we stand or fall in our eyes, in our exercising of what we do here, is succeeds or fails not on our part. It succeeds or fails because the Lord shows up and His people receive or don't. Because like you said last night, there's a whole bunch of free will at work in here. And you got to agree with the Lord in order for him to be free to move on your behalf. Absolutely. And, you know, this is a thing, a repeating theme that occurs in everybody's life the longer they walk with the Lord. Is you get a little bit of understanding in something by going through a thing. And all of a sudden somebody comes across your path and they needed what you got. And you have it for them because you went through a thing. And that is simply the principle working out that, you know, the Lord, what manner of Savior God has given us in that he has gone through everything. He's experienced everything that any person could experience yet without sin. There isn't anything. There's no experience, no feeling, no emotion. Nothing that you're going to go through that he hasn't already gone through before for you. In order for one of us to develop empathy, to develop compassion, to develop the ability to extend grace and mercy, we have to understand and have compassion for and empathy with what you're going through. Sometimes we'll go through a thing simply because somebody else is coming along and we need to have game. We need to have met the Lord on it, dealt with it. Jesus did that first. So when we're called upon to do it, what's the big deal? Jesus did it first. And he did it for me. And he did it for you. And you. And you. So it was no big deal. But it is his way. And it's not because he's mean. It's because he loves you and you and you and you. And he's going to have somebody there who's willing to subject themselves to what it takes to prepare them to do the work that he's put them there to do. Not because they're good, because he is, and he loves them, and he loves you. Us sitting here, you know, contemplating exactly what I'm going to look at. But let's go to Mark 9:30. It's tough with these things. You're either in the beginning or the end of in the middle of something that Jesus is doing here, and you really the sequence of events is kind of important, so you want to know what he just did and where he's going and what he's about to do, because there's nothing accidental about the sequence of presentation. He's just cast out this devil, and it was it was that deal where it was, Lord, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief because I believe you can cast out this devil, but I'm not sure I can keep him out. So Jesus does something he does nowhere else. He says, don't come back. And in 30, they leave from there. They pass through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. He taught his disciples and said unto them, Son of man is delivered into the hands of men, and they kill him. They shall kill him, and after that he's killed, he shall rise the third day. They understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that ye disputed amongst yourselves by the way?" But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed amongst themselves who should be the greatest. And that's so much like us. Get just the little shiniest thing and get really distracted from doing what pleases the Lord. And just a slight deviation, and we find that we're doing something, maybe even for the right reason, but we're still, what's in there is, we want to look good doing it. And it really has nothing to do with what I look like doing it. It has to do with, am I pleasing the Lord? All that matters. So like us. He sat down and called 12. He said to them, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, and servant of all." He took a child, set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, "Whosoever should receive one of such children in my name, receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me." I want to hold it there for a second. Ten thirty-five. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, "Master, we would that thou shouldst do for us whatsoever we shall desire." And he said unto them, "What would you that I should do for you?" And they said unto him, "Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and one on the left." And Jesus said unto them, "Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" And they said unto him, "Yeah, of course we can." And Jesus said unto them, "You shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of. And with the baptism that I am baptized, shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand or on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared." Now, it was clear as they hadn't quite gotten this who should be the greatest thing down yet. And they're still trying to sort out position. You can rest assured that John figured it out.
I'm just saying, at that time.
No. At that time, they didn't have a clue. "Oh, we'll die for you. I got the sword here. I'll go kill some people for you." Doesn't work that way so much. If it was my kingdom was here, then I'd let you go. That's what he tells Pilate. So if my kingdom was here, I'd let him go. And you wouldn't stand a chance. As we go on here, Jesus called them to him and said unto them, "You know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all." That's just not natural. And even in today's society, those who are considered the greatest aren't necessarily out there giving their any substance of themselves. They're giving other people's substance. Oh, this guy's a great public servant. He's been given this and worked for this charity, and he's spending other people's money. How does that make him great? He's living off other people's money. But we, you know, praise him and give him great esteem. And all this thing is saying here is, the greatest among you will be the servant of all. And that's because, how did Jesus walk it out? He walked as servant of all, doing that for us, that which we could not do for ourselves. Couldn't do for ourselves. And even if we could, it still wasn't acceptable. He would be the greatest among us, will be the servant of all, because Jesus was that first. And it's no big thing that he calls and challenges us to walk that too, because he did it first. He was our example. And because he did it first, we can do it. He hasn't told us to do anything that he hasn't done first, and subsequently we cannot do. But there's the little caveat in all that is, because all this stuff, all these praise things we say about, you know, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, and all the other wonderful things we sing. My mind's blanking on them right now, but y'all know what I'm talking about. The Lord God has no obligation to be your provider until your commitment to Him is to be servant of all. Consider the lilies thing, and yeah, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Why trollest thou for tomorrow? Tomorrow let tomorrow take care of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. That's because you're about pleasing me, and whatever else matters does is just immaterial. You can't even see it. You're like the horse with blinders on. And he has given each and every one of you somebody who's just like I was telling Philip this morning. It's like Bill Cosby with his thing. It was like, the beatings will now commence. His wife announces. And he says he sits up there and he's kind of like his legs and arms apart. And he's the one that keeps batting them back into play. As they keep wandering off, he keeps batting them back into play. And then she administers the beatings. So somebody, they keep kicking you back into play. Not so that you can be beat upon, but because we have a tendency to get sidetracked. Shiny thing. And we need somebody to keep beating us back into play. Sometimes it's just... Sometimes it's off. Yeah, sometimes it's gloves, man. Put the gloves on. But that's because he loves us. That's not because he hates us. And that's because somebody else has said, yes, Lord, whatever. Whatever you want. So there's two things at work there. Really the third, because the third one is, you signed up for this at some point. And he loved you enough to hold you to it. So, you know, it just... This doesn't justify us in our wrongness, but this is an example of how just because these guys were walking with Jesus doesn't mean they were special. They were just like us, still jockeying for position. And we do the same thing. And as long as we're carnal, we're going to be doing the same thing. They stopped doing that after Jesus' resurrection. They wandered around a little while going, oh man, now what? But when Pentecost occurred, they were different people.
It says in Acts over and over again of having one accord.
Being of one mind, having one accord. Speak First Corinthians chapter 1, being of the same mind, speaking the same thing. And that same thing is the truth of God does not deviate. Our challenge is love God, love one another. Within our homes, we have little bodies of Christ. We have our ministries as men, as parents. It is His way. The same principles and practices in the body general, corporate, goes and applies in the house, in the home. There is no deviation. There is no, maybe don't know really, you know, what kind of situation depends on. No, it's not like that. It depends on what does the Word say. What does the Word say? And, you know, if you would seek, there is nobody, although there may be a lot of accusations leveled towards people who choose to live their lives in this manner. There is nobody on the outside who will look at you and say, you hypocrite, you say one thing, you do another. You know, in judgment, they're going to stand before God and he's going to say to him, they're going to say to God, well, these people, these hypocrites here, and they didn't. And he's going to say, oh, you had special insight on that? Did you pursue the truth and then challenge them with it? Didn't see you do that. I saw you make an excuse and justifying yourself. Depart from me. I never knew you. The truth was out there. It was for you to find. If you were offended at their hypocrisy and didn't pursue the truth and then challenge them to see it and do it, you stand accountable. Depart from me, I never knew you. You don't get off on claiming hypocrisy. Because the only thing you can get out of that is self-justification, and the Lord's not going to let you justify yourself. He's going to be your justifier. He can't do it. It's against the rules. You have to rely on Him. And His Son. Can't get around the other way. Any other way, he's a thief and a robber. Father, thank you for this day. I thank you for your word and your testimony and how good you are to us, Lord, because we are so easily kicked out of play. But I thank you that you loved us enough to put us, keep kicking us back into play, giving us somebody who will keep us active in pursuing the truth, whether we have welcomed it or resisted it. He keep putting it in front of us so that we have to deal with it. Lord, I just ask that you make creating us a clean heart, Lord, so that we can be free of the bondage of sin and blood guiltiness, guilt. Just so we can be free to help you work out in us our salvation with fear and trembling, both to will and to do of thy good pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen.